We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sexy time.
It's a sexy time. Sexy time.
It's a sexy time. Boy, I look at folks to listen.
I don't know why. This makes me happy. All the crap in the world today, I hear this. All right.
It certainly does. That's a little Borat will cheer you right up.
Well,
a little Lori Watson will cheer us
absolutely
right up. Lori is our resident sexpert. She joins us about once a week talking about things that are going on in her practice, questions from our audience, which we are always taking, by the way. You can always email me at jordana.green@entercom.com with questions for Lori, and we'll have that conversation on the radio.
And she tees it up in a way. You could listen to this with your mother.
Yeah.
Right?
It's safe if your kids are in the car.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they will be much more knowledgeable.
Well.
And then they will ask your husband or your wife about what they heard on the radio that night. And that would be a fun dinner conversation. All right. I don't recommend it. But Lori's joining us, of course. Lori is a well-renowned sex therapist.
Certified sex therapist. Yes.
Dr. Lori Watson. And she's joining us this week for the four rules for a productive sex talk. Lori, our producer, said to me, oh, like a sex talk with your kids? And I said,
nope.
That's not the kind of sex talk we're talking about. Right, Lori?
Lori,
Ray, who had been married for quite some time, and you know, over time they weren't talking about what was happening, and they found that their sex life was really diminishing. And when they were in session with me, you know, so many things were not being said, and they were nervous about talking about it. And so this talk that we're going to have today is about how to have that sex talk with your partner that makes it safe for both parties. And rule number one, I would say, don't surprise your partner with a sex talk.
What does that mean? I mean, that's kind of an awkward thing to start the conversation. Hey, babe, let's talk about sex, especially if you're struggling with sexuality in your relationship.
That is very true. So it has to be positive and loving. Maybe saying something like, you know, I'd love to talk about how to increase our intimacy. Would you be able to do that with me, you know, the weekend? Let's go and have coffee together and talk about this. Are you willing to do that? So it's really warm. It's going to be in a neutral place. It's going to be let your partner sort of have a setup time to think about their opinions about it instead of just springing it on them and saying, you know, what are you feeling about our sex life?
Got it.
That usually is not the best setup.
Got it. Okay. And then you say pick only one topic per conversation, right? So don't go in with a whole laundry list.
That's right. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're merging subjects. You know, for instance, this couple, let's say Joan and Randy, she really wished that he would be the initiator instead of herself. And she thought, you know, maybe he's not initiating because he doesn't find me attractive. And recently he had more ED. And so she was thinking, you know, this is proof that he doesn't find me attractive. And so she wanted to talk about all these things. And my counsel was, no. Let's separate those things. Like, that's actually three different conversations.
Hmm. Lori, is it okay? This may be a dumb question. I'm full of them. But is it okay to tell your partner what you like, what you prefer, as opposed to trial and error? Figuring it out on the fly, but is it okay to kind of go in and say, you know, I kind of prefer X, Y, and Z, or is that being too forward, too presumptuous?
Come on, Lori, even I can answer that one, honey. Were you listening the first time she came on?
You don't need to be certified to answer this. Right, no, absolutely. That's a wonderful gift to give your partner, especially when you say, you know, in a loving, non-critical way, you know, this is what turns me on. This is what I like at this stage in our lovemaking. You know, I want you to touch me this way, or I like it really when you approach me with words first, or, you know, when we're in the bed, this is how I actually like to be touched in this certain way. I mean, that is a real gift, and I would say most partners would love to hear that, you know, unless there's criticism that comes along with it. You never do it the way I've told you. Well, I like it. That's a criticism. And sort of refrain from offering that first and instead just do what you said, Paul. Offer it up. This is what I like.
And as a rule, guys, dudes generally don't like to hear laughter. In bed.
I'll make a note. I'll make a
write
note
that
on
down,
that
Jordana.
Yeah.
No laughter.
Giggling is not good.
Is what good?
Giggling.
Giggling, yeah.
Okay, good to know.
No giggling.
Giggling might be okay sometimes.
I will. Oh, I'll make a note about that one, yeah.
But definitely also don't forget the basics, right? You know, ask your partner things like, what time of day do you want to, you know, have sex? Maybe what does seduction mean? You know, is seduction only one gender that should be doing that? Or, you know, do you like sexual initiation to begin with words or with touch? I will say that in the first 5 years of my marriage, my husband and I got that backwards. We did the thing that we liked, and our partner really preferred seduction to be done the other way, touch or with words.
You know, it's funny that you're telling us to have these conversations because you think, well, they're married. Of course they're talking about it. And of course they're communicating. And of course they know what the other likes. And if you're married and you're listening to this conversation going, well, I don't, or we haven't had a conversation, you're not alone.
Things are left unsaid.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Laura, you must see this a lot in your practice if you wrote down the four rules for a productive sex talk because people aren't really talking about it.
That's right. They're not. So I would say just again, don't surprise your partner with a sex talk. You know, pick only one topic per conversation. Make suggestions, not complaints. And don't forget the basics, the who, what, when, why do I like sex? You know, do I, you know, who's supposed to do what? Who's supposed to start it? Who's, you know, when is it over? That's a big one. Is it over when you're done? Or
when
you're both done?
Because, you know, we're still over here. Yeah, you might be done, but you're not over.
Mm-hmm. I'm not done.
Right.
So keep going.
So that's it. So those are Lori's. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson on her four rules for productive sex talk. And she says, don't make it a surprise. You know,
right.
Plan a coffee. Don't like hop in bed and say, oh, let's talk about it right now. You know, plan a coffee. Plan a time to talk about it. Give the other person notice. Number two, pick only one topic per conversation. You know, you might not want to discuss, you know, erectile dysfunction and what you like and what you don't like in the same conversation.
Exactly.
Number three, she says, make suggestions rather than complaints and use tact because you don't want to offend. Even if you've been married 20 years, mm-hmm. you know, people can still get upset.
Sure.
And then number four, don't forget the basics. You know, when, who, what, like you said, who, what, not who. Hopefully it's just that one person.
Wait a second. Who?
Who does what?
There
who
you go. What? I like that. Who does what, where, when, how, why, all that kind of stuff. So I like it. I mean, it seems basic, but people are not conversing
about it. We forget the basics,
yeah,
right?
We do. And I think that even though we would think it is so safe when we're married to talk about this, I would say only 20% of all couples ever discuss their sex life.
And we're talking
it's
to
so
you.
Low.
We're talking to you in your car who might be nodding along with us. And I hope people use these tips, Lori, as an impetus mm-hmm. to go home and say to their partner, hey, you know what I heard on the radio today? I heard them talking about, you know, how to talk to each other about sex. Let's try that.
And let's try it. Absolutely.
Should hopefully use us as the beginning to
get out
of
your bubble,
ice.
Get out of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. try some new things. And, Lori, that's what we appreciate. You get us thinking different about this topic. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Lori, where can we read your blog? Go on your website at Lori Watson?
Sure. You can find me on 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. That's my podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's wherever podcasts are found, iTunes and Stitcher. And then I also blog on Psychology Today and WebMD. And they are also able to find me at awakenloveandsex.com.
Wow, you're everywhere, hon.
I'm everywhere.
Lori
Wonderful.
Watson, we so appreciate you taking the time to talk with our listeners and talk with us about this. Thank you again, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
talk
Lori.
To you next week. You got it.
Bye.
Did you know that was it's she always makes
She's
it
great.
Interesting.
She's great.
Right? Down to earth. Mm-hmm. You know, don't club me over the head with science.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me blinded by science.
Make a note. Paul likes to be clubbed over the head.
With
okay,
science.
Got it. Got making a note.
Hey, it's this is a tough transition, but did you know it's American Wind Week?
I did not. Well, too bad it's not like American Erection Week. That well, would be a much smoother transition.
Sure, that's every week. Right. That's every week. Are you kidding me?
It's American Wind Week. Okay.
Oh, my God. Peter Mavis is coming up to tell us about wind and how it is serving Minnesotans, whether it's farmers, whether it's customers turning on the light switch. Wind is a big deal, and it seems to be getting bigger. We talk about wind next. Paul and Jordana, there is a new severe thunderstorm warning in effect.
Oh,
central and northern Hennepin County till 5 o'clock. Half-dollar size hail now pushing towards Maple Grove and Brooklyn Park. So, yeah, some rough storms moving into the metro. Time to batten down the hatches. The power may go out in some spots. When the power comes back up, some of that power is brought to you by Minnesota's wind farms.
Can we harness some of the wind from thunderstorms?
No.
No.
I don't believe so. I don't believe.
We should ask our next guest.
They're so
he's
random.
Really smart.
Yeah. That's above my pay grade. But Peter Mavis is the regional policy manager for Western Footprint with the Clean Grid Alliance. Peter, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul, Jordana. I appreciate it.
Hey, Pete.
So, I mean, the answer to Jordana's question, no, we can't harness winds from severe thunderstorms because they're random, they're sporadic. But we can harness the wind, and we are, correct me if I'm wrong, the central part of the USA is sort of the Saudi Arabia of wind.
Yeah, Paul, that's very accurate. If you look at the plain states, that's the strongest wind resource in the country. If you look at southwestern Minnesota, the Buffalo Ridge, mm-hmm. Which extends down into Iowa, and of course extends into South Dakota. This is the windiest part of the country, and we're doing a good job of harnessing that wind.
So the cost of solar has dropped about 80% in the last 10 years. The cost of wind has dropped about 65% since 2009. Is there a return on investment? Is wind competitive now, truly competitive with things like natural gas?
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is all you have to do is look at the utilities. I mean, if you look at, for instance, Xcel Energy, which is, you know, one of the most progressive utilities in the country, they're moving this direction, and they're doing it because it's based on economics. And if you look at Xcel Energy is filing their resource plan for the next 15 years, and they're doubling down on renewable energy. I mean, they're going to add an additional 1,200 megawatts of wind and over 4,000 up to 4,000 megawatts of solar, and in turn, they're going to shut down their remaining coal units in Minnesota. So this is the cost of these resources is simply based on economics.
Peter, I'm going to ask a dumb question because I am a non-meteorologist, but how do you do it? How do you harness wind energy and then reuse it?
Well, you have a turbine that has a generator and a gearbox in it. When the wind blows, the turbine blades turn around, and they it's kind of like the reverse of a car engine, where it spins the generator quicker than the blades turn, and it turns it into electricity and sends it down the wires and puts it on the bulk transmission system.
No, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was a good question.
And so it's immediately transformed into electricity and then used right away?
Yep.
Or okay. stored. Now you can store
it with energy storage.
Big batteries, correct?
Yeah, energy storage is kind of the next big thing. You know, we're still kind of in the early phases of how storage is going to work on the bulk system, but there's lots of companies, there's lots of pilot projects, and it's just a matter of time before storage is also a piece of that pie.
Peter, some people complain about the aesthetics. I've kind of gotten used to the wind turbines. And I know a number of farmers believe that wind power is a godsend, especially now with lower prices, crazy weather, the tariffs. They rely on, you know, some of the cash flow to be able to lease part of their land for these wind turbines. Do most farmers, does most of ag embrace wind turbines or not?
In Minnesota and Iowa and the Dakotas, it's been very successful. I mean, you're always going to have situations where, you know, there's always a trade-off. I mean, sure, this is a big tower that sits up in the sky, and now it's going to be in your community where you've never had them before. So there's a lot of aspects to folks not recognizing something like this in their community, and now here it is. But if you go down to southwestern Minnesota, the community has absolutely embraced wind power because they realize the economic benefits that it brings to their communities.
So we have about 30 seconds left. The future of wind, what are you predicting? Is it going to become ubiquitous? We need new transmission lines. Can we get most of our energy economically from clean energy down the road?
Yeah, so transmission is going to be a big factor, and we're going through this great transition here in the country, especially in the upper Midwest, where the utilities are doubling down on this stuff. So it's going to be a combination of wind, it's going to be a combination of solar, and then storage, and then additional transmission infrastructure.
Okay, terrific.
Peter Mavis from Regional Policy Manager for Western Footprint Clean Grid Alliance. I learned a lot, Peter.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it, sir. Appreciate the update.
Amazing.
It is American Wind Week, if anybody asks.
It's American Wind Week.
That is a forecast I'll get right. The wind will blow and blow and blow.
It's 4:31. Emotional support pigs. Yep, there were a few in Minneapolis. The cops took them away. Find out why next. Emotional support pigs. Is this the first time you've heard about this?
Why not? Why not?
Okay. This is actually kind of a sad story, but I just like saying emotional support pigs. I thought it would make you smile.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson relied on Carmel, a 22-pound pot-bellied pig who enjoys blueberries and having her belly scratched. I feel like she's on a game show right now.
That in common.
I know, right? Who doesn't?
Yeah.
He says he's close to her. She has two piglets, and all three were seized by Minneapolis Animal Care and Control earlier this summer. Then Johnson had a $4,400 bill from the city to get his pets back. The window to get them back was Monday. Now, Animal Control says they were confiscated because the animals weren't being properly cared for in Johnson's triplex. They were in unsanitary conditions, says the director. But Larry Johnson, who's a Minneapolis contractor and Air Force Navy veteran, says he loved them and he cared for them and he's been trying to get them back and he uses them to calm his anxiety. A GoFundMe page has been started to help get his pigs back, but he couldn't get the $4,400 by Monday. And he says he's just feeling anxious about the whole thing and he wishes that they would come back. He also says he doesn't want this to happen to somebody else. So he is going to try and get some laws changed. But I see both sides of this. Look, if you're living in a triplex and an apartment complex and you're not being sanitary with the animals, what are the neighbors supposed to do? And the pigs. I mean, it's not really good for them.
Right.
Yet, he probably needs some kind of emotional support. So, maybe a cat. Maybe a cat.
That's so pedestrian.
Oh, a cat is pedestrian. Yeah. Okay, we should stick with the pigs.
I think the emotional support pigs pig is. I think that's pretty cool.
A lot of work.
Can you put a pig on a leash and just walk
it
like
I
a dog?
Why
not? Get it on the plane?
Susan says they're smarter than dogs.
Put it in the overhead compartment? No, you wouldn't want to do that.
You never know.
Jorah, this is not a good time to be named Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's not.
Can you imagine?
For the real one or the other ones. No.
There's another Jeffrey Epstein. A good one, apparently.
Yeah.
He's a publicist for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you imagine? He's getting hammered on social media. He's that Epstein.
Poor guy.
People saying, rotten hell, you pervert. Go to hell, blah, blah, blah. Those are some of the ones we can repeat.
Here's what I don't get about this story, Paul. Why are they texting to Jeffrey Epstein? He's dead.
He's dead. Well,
he's still dead. So what do people think? Are they just getting their aggressions out on his Twitter account?
I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, because this other Jeffrey Epstein seems like a real nice guy.
Maybe they don't know that he's dead.
Or
maybe they don't understand that when you're dead, you can't tweet anymore.
Read tweets, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude's still dead.
A number of celebrities offered kind words of support to the Disney employee.
Poor guy.
My friend Disney's Jeffrey Epstein has the same name as the monster arrested today. He is not that Jeffrey Epstein, yet his feed is in shambles.
Oh, poor guy.
Nicest guy ever.
Poor guy.
Apparently Epstein shared a photo of the two of them on Monday thanking Brown for her love and friendship, which only confused people on social media even more.
Why are you supporting
him? How can you
him?
Be dead and you're still tweeting?
People are just not that smart. Just not that smart.
Well.
A snake was rescued after swallowing almost half of its own body.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently snakes aren't that smart either. The Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary in Pennsylvania showed a picture of a king snake after it swallowed almost half its own body. I'm actually going to hold it up because if you're watching on Facebook Live, it just kind of looks like a circle. It's a snake, but there's no beginning and no end. It's just a circle.
Sure, it's the circle of life.
Was trying to eat. Well, the circle of life was not going well for this one. Okay? One of the organizers there at the reptile sanctuary said, they sometimes see their own tail and they think it's another snake because I guess they're cannibals.
Right.
They'll take a bite out of it and realize they bit themselves. They usually don't swallow themselves. But today...
So this is not a particularly bright snake.
Today we
have a theme going today.
Yeah, we're going to see a king snake that, I don't know, might not have done very well on his SATs. Yeah. The organizer there said he tried to get the snake to release itself by tapping on the nose, which can make serpents... nervous and unhinge their jaws, but he refused to do that. So he had to use his fingernail to pry the fangs loose and pull the snake from its own mouth.
Wow.
He assured folks on Facebook he's a good eater and we really do feed him, but again, not that bright.
Yeah, wow. That's a tough wow.
Mm-hmm.
This next story, I hesitate sharing this because of my love of BMWs.
Okay.
And, I don't get this at all. This is what not to do with a brand new BMW. Most 22-year-olds would be thrilled to receive a BMW as a present from their daddy.
I would. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a spoiled brat in India who wanted a Jaguar and not a Beamer.
Oh, makes sense.
And he threw a temper tantrum for the ages after he drove his new car off the lot, he drove it into a river.
Come on.
And then got out. Brand new BMW. Took officials 5 hours to retrieve the car.
Oh, my God.
Dramatic video footage shot a few days ago shows the white Beamer slowly drifting down a river in northern India.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
When the youth was plunging the high-end BMW car into the river, he also made a video and posted a video on social media of him driving.
What a jackass.
Yeah. Officials say no charges have been filed against this man, who they claim has a mental deficiency and is undergoing treatment. So.
Don't do that to a BMW.
If your dad buys you, if your dad buys you a beater.
Don't do that.
Thank your father. Or mother.
Don't do that. The first day of school is coming. A California middle school teacher, and by the way, they've already started school in California.
Oh.
Was told to stop passing out a cheerful graphic titled The Gender Unicorn. You would think, oh, that's so cute, The Gender Unicorn. It's actually really cute. I'm looking at a picture of it as a cute little unicorn thinking about a rainbow. But it explains gender identity, who you're attracted to, and why? And why did the teacher pass this out? Because he didn't want his students to call him Mr. He wanted his students to call him MX. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Like mix instead of, I don't know, Mix Alvarado instead of Mr. Alvarado. Because, again, he is gender fluid and he calls himself a gender unicorn. The problem here is that this wasn't introduced in like a sex ed class or a health class. He's a science teacher. And the fact that he took the first day of school to teach his students about his sexuality got parents a little annoyed. And they were like, dude, just teach science.
It's all about me.
It's all about you, Jor. Just teach science. So the gender unicorn ditto, remember dittos, got passed out to 7th and 8th grade students until the principal found out. About 50 students had the handout. And then the principal said, you might want to shut that down. No word yet on if there will be action taken against the teacher. It was his second year as a teacher and clearly making bad choices. Just teach the science, dude, because you're the only one who's super focused on your gender. These kids don't really care. They're just here to learn science. Just there to learn science. It's all good.
Amen, sister.
It's all good.
All right. Okay, the Twins playing Milwaukee First pitch 7:10 today.
Pre-game 6:30 here on CCO. So no Mike Max show tonight, but we're glad to have him join us today.
Rain or shine, they'll play there. They can hit that button, you know.
Yeah, weather's a little better in Milwaukee this evening.
Yeah.
What should we know about this series? We got Milwaukee and then four games with Texas.
Yeah, first they got Sam Dyson they brought back off the injured list. He's the guy that they traded for at the deadline. And then they found out they had, looked like damaged goods there, a couple of bad outings. They put him on the shelf for 10 games, 10 days, and now he's coming back tonight. And that's not to be understated because they're a bullpen that's in need. And it is my hypothesis based on the time I spent out there this weekend that they will now have a shorter leash on their starting pitchers, meaning Martin Perez pitches tonight. He's been up and down. He's been erratic lately. They're not going to let him go long before they make a change. And that's why they need Dyson. They need Trevor May. They need all these guys to be game on because they're going to ask more of this bullpen and maybe tax it a little bit more. So bringing Dyson back, Romo's sitting there. He's been pretty good as a veteran addition. You're going to see more and more of these guys, and they're going to put the onus and the responsibility on them to get them to carry this pitching staff because they know they'll hit.
All hands on deck. Interesting. All right. What else are you covering? What else made you do a double take today?
The Vikings are practicing still. We got a little piece of this. Nate Wozniak tonight on TV. He's a 6'10" tight end from the University of Minnesota that went down to New Orleans. They converted him to tackle. It's kind of interesting to watch a guy 6'10"
big boy
play football. You know,
it's a big boy.
He never played basketball. You know, of any merit growing up. But he's playing football, and so he's a long shot, I'd say, to make this team with the Vikings. But he's one of those good training camp stories because you bring him in, everybody kind of goes, "Who's that?" You know. Mm-hmm. And so there's that the kicking thing. They kind of for now has been settled. They play on Sunday night against Seattle, but I don't think they're going to have many tough decisions to make come cut down day. I think they've got a pretty pretty clear cut path there.
Hey, Mikey, we got to run, but I did you a favor. I took the top down on your convertible.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
So figured
great
you needed a little car
wash.
That's why
I wear vinyl clothing and vinyl seats, buddy.
Helpful. Smart guy. Mike Max, you're the best.
You can pull that off.
Again, no Maxie
tonight.
Very few
can pull that off.
But we have a pregame at 6:30 and first pitch at 7:10 right here on WCCO against Milwaukee. When we get back, we want to talk about President Trump delaying those China tariffs. We're going to talk about bulletproof backpacks, and we're going to talk about vaping. That's all next on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.